glad you're here. Delicious, sweet, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, June 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and we're visiting today with Jason Gray. Welcome, Jason, to Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me. So grateful to be here with you.
I've always wanted to introduce you to our audience, and a great opportunity came up because you're coming to our area this Saturday. You're going to be at Union Church in La Harpe, helping them to celebrate a ministry milestone for their pastor.
I love Bruce. I've known him for 10 or 11 years now or more, have been so grateful for the ways that he's made me a part of his ministry there, you know, and he's brought me in a number of times, and excited to be with him.
43 years.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. You're going to have a couple opportunities to interface Saturday, June 29th at 6:30, and then you're also going to be a part, I guess, of the morning worship service at 9 a.m. Well, I've always loved your music from the moment I first heard you. It just touches something in me. And then I got a chance to see you in concert, which was just so much fun. Your humor is delightful. Absolutely.
And where did you see me?
I did see you with Big Daddy Weave in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Well, I've got my favorites. And you wouldn't mind telling me what you were thinking when you were writing these, because that's always fascinated me. Like, how do these people come up with these songs? And it just hit me at the right time. So let's start with one of my favorites. Nothing is wasted.
Oh, nothing is wasted. Yeah. You know, I believe it was, and I should also explain to your listeners that I do have a speech handicap, so I'm a stutterer. So, but I suppose that's pertinent to the song, right? I would say that has been a very important teacher in my life, and it goes back to as I began to be aware of God's calling on my life. You know, I used to argue with him about it. I would say, Lord, you can't make me your spokesperson until you make it so I can speak, you know. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, but, you know, when you tell God that he can't do something, it's kind of like a dare that he can't resist, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody, that's why I do what I do, because I lost a dare with the Almighty, you know. But I remember very early on, I thought, oh, okay, I get it. So you're calling me to speak for you, and I have a speech impediment. Okay, so what that's supposed to look like is, you know, when I answer that call and when I step out in faith anyway, you'll meet me there and you'll heal me, and that'll be my testimony. I can be a living, breathing demonstration of the faithfulness of God and what happens when we step out in faith toward him, right? And so that began a years-long journey of me trying to have enough faith, believe hard enough to get God to do his thing, right? And so I would continually step out in faith and step up to the mic, and then I would stutter horribly. And it was very confusing, very discouraging. And I remember getting frustrated and angry, and being at the point where I'm like, you know, I'm doing my part, God. I'm stepping out in faith, and you're not meeting me there, and that's not a good look for you either, you know. So like, what is it that you want? What do you want from me? And I was frustrated and angry and discouraged, but I couldn't not do this music thing. Like, it was like a fire shot up in my bones, you know. And so I'm doing a concert at this little coffee shop, and I just stutter horribly again all through the night, and got done and was exhausted, and I felt humiliated. I thought, oh man, this had to be a very awkward experience for the audience. And I just wanted to go home and hide. And I get off the stage, and I'm packing up my things, and I stand up, and I find there's a line of people waiting to speak with me. And one after the other, I hear variations of the same story. They're each saying, thank you for doing what you do in spite of your challenges, because it reminds me that I'm not defined by my weakness either, you know. And my speech used to be way worse back then than it is now. But I remember going home that night and realizing that it wasn't the words I said, it wasn't the songs I sang, it was simply the fact that I'm broken, and I got up there and I did it anyway. And somehow that's what the Lord used. And that was the beginning of my understanding that that God doesn't want to use us in spite of our brokenness, but I believe He wants to use us because of our brokenness, you know, because His grace, His glory is most on display in our weakness, right? Our weakness, our brokenness is what reveals His grace, His power. And so that was the beginning of that. And Eugene Peterson, who did the Message translation of the Bible, he talks about, you know, a pastor only has two or three sermons, really, right, that he preaches 10,000 different ways. And this is my message that I write song after song about, you know. The wound is where the light gets in, and everything sad is coming untrue, and even this will be made beautiful, and the worst that has happened to us, the worst that we've done, our brokenness, it does not get to have the final word over our lives, but love will have the final word, and nothing is wasted.
The hurt that broke your heart and left you trembling in the dark, feeling lost and alone, will tell your hopes a lie, but what if every tear you cry will seed the ground where joy will grow?
We're talking with Jason Gray on Mark and Friends, and I'm getting to hear all of my favorite Jason Gray songs. So let's head to the next one. Remind me of who I am. Where did you come up with that one?
It became a song that I very much needed when I went through my divorce. My understanding of myself was under attack, you know. And so I know that song has become an anthem for a lot of people, and wow, what a gift. I'm so grateful for that. It became my anthem, too, when I was going through it. But initially, when I wrote it, I thought about how the idea that I absorbed as a young believer is that we sin because we want to, right? It's a willful act of rebellion. And I'm sure that's true some of the time, you know, but when I really think about it for myself and like everybody else I know, we don't want to sin. And it's something that we do against our will almost. Like we want to be able to look ourselves in the mirror, be proud of ourselves. We want to do the right thing. So it's something that we do against our own will, which means it looks a little more like addiction to me. And so what's driving that addiction? And that curiosity led me to the curse in Genesis, you know, this curse of futility, that no matter what I do, it's never enough. And it's just a hop and a skip and a jump from there to, no matter what I do, I'm afraid I'll never be enough. And if that's the curse, what it looks like to me anyway is that our sin is our own attempt to manage the curse, because most of the things that we that draw us into sin, in my experience, are things where we are trying to make ourselves feel like we're enough. We're trying to medicate that wound of futility, right? So workaholism, I'm trying to demonstrate to the world that I'm enough. Even like the sin of pornography use, right? It's a fantasy world where people enter into to imagine themselves desired and wanted with no risk of rejection, right? And so, yeah. And the antidote to all of that isn't to try harder. It's to remember that I am God's beloved, that there isn't anything I can do to make God love me more, and there isn't anything I can do to make God love me less. And when I'm connected, when I am most living in the love of God, when I'm letting Him love me, sin loses its hold on me, right?
Yeah.
And so, and my healing comes from remembering who I am, that I, first and foremost, I am God's beloved.
I lose my way and I forget my name. Remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Remind me who I am. to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
I began to realize that I'm not the most reliable interpreter of the events of my life, you know, because things that I thought were good often go wrong, but especially seasons, events, things that happened to me that I thought were bad, years down the road I realized, oh wow, that was maybe the best thing that could have happened to me, because it broke me open. It introduced me to transformation, you know. How do we learn courage unless we face something that terrifies us so much that we are afraid to take the next step, but we have to take the next step anyway, right?
Yeah.
And how do I learn forgiveness unless somebody hurts me so devastatingly that I want to close up? And I begin to realize, oh, if I don't learn forgiveness, I'm going to lose contact with my own heart, right? And so then I got to learn forgiveness. It's those who have hurt me, those who've betrayed me, who have played the biggest part in teaching me forgiveness, which has made me the most free. How do I come to trust the unfailing love of God unless I fail it again and again, and I find that He doesn't leave me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these things that maybe at one time I would have categorized as, oh yeah, this was a bad thing that happened, later it was revealed to be something that I could be so thankful for.
Stoplight, he can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches her, kingdom come, oh, 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 oh. With every act of love, Jesus, help us carry you. Alive in us, your light shines through. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. There's silence at the table. He wants to talk, but he's not able, for all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again, and forgiveness will set him free tonight. As heaven touches her, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Said God put a million, million doors in the world for His love to walk through. One of those doors is you. Hey, hey, hey.
You're listening to Mark and Friends. I'm your friend Donna Leland, along with Jason Gray, who will be in our area in La Harpe, Illinois, celebrating with the Union Church. That's coming up this Saturday, and then he'll be back again Sunday. And you can find out all the details at wluj.org. Click on Community Calendar. Thanks again, Jason, for being a part of Mark and Friends.
Thank you again for having me, Donna. I'm always grateful for deep and authentic conversations, so thank you for leading us there.
Tomorrow, Pastor Jason Schiffo is back on Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media.